Is this something that the Pentagon can do? I mean, it strikes me that on the one hand, you make a deal, you have a deal, and it doesn't sound like changing it once the plane is already in production and in testing seems like something they can do.
Well, it sort of, I haven't had a chance to actually look at the contract, obviously, but what in this sort of situation, what happens oftentimes is that the government will put pressure for a contractor to negotiate the change, and this is probably not something that they can do unilaterally, although the government sometimes does have the option to do unilateral contract modifications. In this case, from the sources that I've looked at, the Pentagon is talking about just simply putting pressure for an agreed change.
The Reuters News Service reports the Deputy Defense Secretary Ashton Carter and Pentagon acquisition officials have been targeting overhead costs and other factors as part of a major drive to reform major weapons contracts after years of cost overruns and schedule delays. The defense officials telling Lockheed they expect it to share in the costs of concurrency or changes that must be made to the new warplane. Is that the key here, the idea of concurrency?
Yes, in this sort of situation, you convert from the point of the development of the plane to the point of the production of the plane. Right now, they're in that middle period in what they call the LRIP, the low rate of initial production, where they're starting to mass produce these planes, but they still have to pick up changes from the testing of the whole system.
Yeah, you write it's just an email that you sent me last week. When a contractor like Lockheed designs and builds a new plane from scratch, that's done with the cost contract. The government pays all the costs to design that small group that you're talking about there. At what point in the process does it become too late for the Pentagon to say, we're not going to change anything or anything else, and you go ahead and make these? And then if they do change their minds again, it's something that they've got to pay more money to the contractor for.
That's sometimes the big question, exactly at what stage can you be in when you start changing the contract? It's all a matter of negotiation and sort of being in the game and watching all the factors and all the players. There can be 100 factors that you have to consider.
So there's no such thing as standard operating procedure in a situation like this?
Not in a weapon system that's this complicated, where production is very complicated. So I would say no.
How do we get to this spot? Is this an issue? And obviously, I'm not asking you to comment specifically about the F-35 situation, but this seems to be a recurring problem. It seems that when we have big weapon systems like these, this happens over and over again, that we get a portion into the production or testing, and there's some kind of an issue between the Pentagon and the contractor. Is there a way to prevent this, or are these systems just so complicated that it's never going to go smoothly?
Well, I frankly think that these are so complicated that it's just very difficult to get the right people in, the good managers, to find good managers within the government who can manage a project of this size. And even though actually the Pentagon is relying now more and more on contractors to help them manage these big projects, ultimately the government still has to manage the managers.
And you also wrote, one way the federal government contracts are unique is the fact that the government has a right to change the contract terms unilaterally. How can a contractor be assured that it's not going to get changed to the point where it's not going to be worth it for them to complete the contract? Or is that not ever really a guarantee? Is that just kind of a cost of doing business when it comes to the government market?
Well, it is a cost of doing business in the federal market, but also when you're talking about unilateral contract changes that are permitted under the contract, the government is allowed to do that under certain circumstances, but they're also required to pay for those changes. So whatever impact those changes create, whatever cost those changes produce are costs that the government has to cover.
Now, we're talking about contracts at the level of the Lockheed Martins of the world, the huge, huge contracting companies. How do some of these principles, though, apply to companies that are further down the chain who are maybe not competing at the level of a Lockheed, or maybe who don't have the experience and the legal expertise that a Lockheed Martin has to be able to help them understand what's going on in these cases?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, the concept of a unilateral contract change, which is unique to government contracts, goes all the way down to even the smallest government contracts. Almost every government contract has a unilateral changes clause in it. It's just something that the contractor has to get familiar with and to understand how to manage it. Because when the government does order these changes, whether explicitly or implicitly, those changes are completely compensable under the changes clause.